Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And I feel like my Friday is already off to a fantastic start because I'm hanging out with people that are making me laugh and smile. And that's just absolutely awesome. So thank you for that. And yeah, let's just run down the list of everyone who's making me smile and laugh today. Dave, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. It was a crazy morning here at work, but I can break down to the wire and get on the show here. But glad it's Friday. Glad to get to hang out with you guys and talk about stuff. And it's doing okay.
Awesome.
We need some warm weather, though.
Yeah, well, good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing all right, too. It's been a crazy week. I'm definitely out of energy. Like, I felt it the entire week already. We had a big trade fair this week, like healthcare related in Europe. So of course, like three of my teams had stuff to present there. Like, I didn't have to present anything. I just had to make sure everything was, like, servers were there and the software was running and everything was ready that we wanted to present. And yeah, last minute escalations where, like, someone decided, hey, let's move the server around, like, on a Friday afternoon, and on Tuesday morning it had to be ready. Stuff like that. So yeah, it's been a bit of a week. Plus, we had our quarterly planning on Tuesday, like, as if the other thing wasn't enough. I mean, that one I made the mistake because I planned that, so I next time definitely not doing that again.
Right. Yeah, you should consult with you on that one to make sure you don't do it again.
For sure. Yeah, but it's been it was a really great show. Like, I heard a lot of really good feedback from the people who were on the ground. It was a success. People were happy, so it was good. But you can, like, I just, like, there's no energy left right now. So if I'm babbling or, like, talking garbage, then that's just, like,
then that's just that's how just the shows work.
Probably that's well. True.
That is true. Yeah, more than, I should say, more than usual.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, that's just, like, my brain not working at all anymore. But I have a long weekend. So there's a Labor Day on, it's Labor Day on Monday in most of Europe, actually, I think, or all of Europe, maybe even. So long weekend.
Nice. Nice.
Awesome. I needed that.
I can appreciate that. And Chuck, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm a little more sleep deprived than normal, but, you know, that doesn't usually affect my thinking because that's just, my brain is half that way all the time anyway. So, you know, what are you going to do?
You mean we wouldn't notice?
Yeah, you probably wouldn't. Yeah. And if I start to snore, then okay.
Okay.
I don't think that'll happen.
Chuck, if you start to snore, I'm going to switch the view to freeze just on you.
Oh, yeah.
And then the rest of the show until you wake up will just be the Chuck snore show. Nap time with Chuck.
Nap time with Chuck. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember the last time I took a nap.
Well, it's very possible we'll record it today.
Okay, well, if you feel that's worthy of posterity, then go for
it. Oh, hell yes.
You've seen the content on this show.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm leaving it there. I mean, it will not be the first podcast ever where someone fell asleep, because I remember, was it even a Mac Voices show where someone fell asleep during the show? I don't remember. Yeah. Like, not that the show was boring, it just, like, the person just fell asleep, I think.
Yes, I remember.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
We won't call any names.
No.
Don't want to embarrass anyone.
Oh my God, no. Yes.
It was funny.
But it was none of us, just to be clear, it was none of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right, and
I want to say it's so bad, I'm not going to.
Yeah,
there was definitely a side channel discussion. Oh, good times. Yeah.
Well, if you like, I mean, if you're sleepy, then stuff happens.
Right? You know, people say when nature calls.
It's true.
You know, yeah. Oh my God.
So, how are you, Jeff?
I'm doing yes. all right. And now that I remember the incident on the specific podcast where none of us fell asleep, but someone else did, man, that was really funny.
It was.
So thank you for bringing that memory back.
Probably still have it in our text.
Oh, we probably do. Yeah. My one complaint, this is directed at you, Chuck.
Okay.
Chuck brought up the weather before the show, and I checked my weather, only to discover that starting like next Tuesday, it's going to start raining, and then it rains for like 2 weeks straight. What the hell?
I mean, aren't we good for like nature and stuff and like the rivers and all of that? But why?
Yeah, it's good, but at the same time, it's at the wrong time because we're starting to get the spring runoff from all the snow in the mountains. And mm-hmm. and so that means that in an ecosystem where we already aren't able to retain all of the water that we're getting, we're going to get mm-hmm. more that's just going to be lost.
Yeah, and flooding and all of that.
And then comes the flooding. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so Jeff, you're in the market for a used ARC.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I heard that having a boat is just a big money sink. So maybe I should go a little bit smaller than an ARC. Also,
spaceship?
Okay, so here's a thing. And this is the kind of thing that got me in trouble when I was a kid and my parents were taking me to church and they would tell us all of these Christian Bible stories, and they did the whole Noah's Ark thing. And I asked, how could they fit two of every animal on this planet into a boat that size? Because they said, well, a cubit is like this long. So here's how long it would be in modern measurements. And I'm like, how would you do that? Where do you keep all the food for these animals? How do you deal with all the animal waste? You also have to have people on the boat. So where do you keep all the food for those people? How about getting water? And
so I went on and diversity?
On. Yeah, that they did not like any of that. And then I said, now, a lot of these animals, to get there, they have to cross water. Why do those animals need to get in this boat? Anyhow, I believe that the Sunday school teacher had a discussion with my parents.
So, you think so?
Yeah.
Wouldn't anyhow, surprise me a bit.
I did routinely get chastised for not simply believing.
Well, and look how you turned out.
So, exactly. Good, look how I turned out.
Yeah, you made a career out of it, Jeff.
Right?
Yes, you did.
Oh, my God. See, that's another thing. I would get in trouble for talking in class in school. Jeff, you spend too much time talking.
Yeah. Look at what happened now.
And look how that played out, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm saying to all of those teachers that tried to repress me and make me not who I am, screw all you.
Yeah.
And to all kids in Sunday school, just don't listen to them.
Right. And wow. If you do listen, go ahead and question.
Yeah, ask questions. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I'm actually stopping myself right now because if I start sharing other questions I asked, I probably will get a call from Ewan. Like, yeah. Jeff, what are you doing?
That's a whole different show.
That's a whole different show.
I would be totally on board for. I mean, I could tell the stories that like what I asked. So I was the same.
So okay. So we're going to start the BTN Sunday School show. And it will not be what most people are expecting.
Wow.
Nope.
Wow. Wow. Okay. If we do, I'm definitely subscribing just because I want to replay those.
And read the comments.
And read the comments, right? Yeah. There, I'm assuming there would definitely be some comments to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyhow, well, moving on from our Sunday school classes, I'll start by saying, Dave, Patrice, thank you for making sure that I didn't actually have to do any work to find stories this week. As usual, both of you rock. And so let's start with the news that there's been a ruling in the Apple case. Okay, so it's still early enough for me. I totally forgot which company.
Epic.
Epic, thank you. Holy crap. You know, only the really big case involving Apple in the news right now, the one with Epic.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, it's not a super important company in my book, so.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so anyhow, wow, I should just probably sit here and keep drinking my tea.
That's a good idea. That's actually a solid plan. Yeah, so Epic, I mean, there was it last year? The like original court decision, I think it was last year, where the judge basically said, except for the anti-steering thing where Apple like didn't allow developers to tell them that they could go some other place and pay there, they like the judge had basically agreed with Apple and said, no, it's not a monopoly, no, like Epic did like a bad thing, and you're totally right. So, and of course, both sides tried to fight that because Apple wanted it all.
Mm-hmm.
And Epic obviously wanted
to win. And Epic wanted something.
Yeah, and the appeals court basically just more or less confirmed it. I don't think there was any real change in their decision. They just reviewed it and said, nope.
Yeah, I am almost completely certain they changed nothing. All mm-hmm. they did was reaffirm the lower court's ruling. Mm-hmm. So just to echo it back, since I'm still partly asleep, apparently, what the court ruled was that the lower court's ruling that everything that Epic was accusing Apple of and wanted to get changed, the court mm-hmm. said no, except for accepting payments outside of Apple's ecosystem through the apps. Yeah.
No, I don't, not even the payment part. Not even that. They said it is totally fine that Apple only has their own payment system, and like that they, like all the rules that Apple has in place, all of that is fine because they're not a monopoly. The only thing that they said was Apple is not allowed to prevent like apps from like telling you about their websites and that you could pay there.
Oh my God, how have I gone this far through this case and not realized that absolutely critical nuance? Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, this changes the whole thing. This is a resounding fail on Epic's part across the board. Even with the ruling that that went in their favor, it is still a loss.
Yeah. Yeah. And to be fair, Apple has already loosened restrictions there because of the like the other side, like the political pressure in like in US and Europe and everywhere, where they've already, I think, at least for reader apps, allowed that.
Mm-hmm.
I think they had to, because otherwise we probably would already have laws that would push that. So.
Yeah.
So I usually don't do this, but I'm going to throw a link into the chat and also read the first, I think it's the first sentence or two. This mm-hmm. is an article by the Macalope on Macworld. And I just think this, if you know the Macalope, you'll get it. But sadly, this means that Epic will be unable to set up its own store within iOS, which it can use to directly gouge people for virtual goods. If you want to be gouged for virtual goods by Epic, you must go directly to their site. Yeah. I love that.
I mean, they can still charge. I mean, they can still do the thing that I think YouTube or Google, for example, is doing, where they simply charge 30% more.
Yeah.
Like, to just say, if you want to pay an app, this is the price, and it's higher than like if you go through our website. Totally fine.
But I love that take, because that really does, I think, you know, put some perspective on it. The title of the article, by the way, is another epic loss, another epic L from Apple leaves Tim Sweeney angry at everyone. What a shame, Tim. Sorry.
Yeah. And that's, yeah. Okay. So the schadenfreude that I have about this ruling comes down to the hypocrisy from Epic. Because what they wanted was a court to say what Apple's doing is bad, but you can do the exact same thing. Because, I mean, that's really exactly what Epic wanted. And instead, they spent a ton of money in legal fees and advertising. You remember their their knockoff 1984 ad that they ran? And I mean, they have spent an insane amount of money in this battle. And in the end, they got basically nothing.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's I mean, and they've tried. I mean, I'm not a gamer, and I don't care about Epic. But the way they approached it made them like look so bad. Like, even the people who usually either didn't care or were on the like on the let's stick it to the man side of like, oh, Apple is so big and anything we can do, like anybody who rebels against the man basically is like on the right hand on the right side of everything. Even those people couldn't be on the Epic side, because the way they did it, like, yeah, just by basically sneaking in code and then enabling their own app store and basically begging almost Apple to kick them out and then suing because Apple kicked them out. Like that, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, they knew full well that they were going to get kicked out. I'm with you. I believe that Epic intentionally did what they needed to do to get kicked out, to try and use that as a weapon in court.
Yeah, 100%.
It really is interesting. I'm thinking about the TV series that was done, or the limited series on Uber, and you know, the hubris that Uber showed. And this, I hope somebody does one on this, because this seems even more malicious, even more calculated than some of the things that Uber apparently did in its early days. It just seems like there's so many, and I know that not all of our friends agree with, you know, Apple's position on developer relations and how much they charge and all that. But at the end of the day, you know, those are the rules, and to intentionally break them and then try to, as Patrice said, to take advantage of the fact that you were punished for breaking them and use that to your advantage and try to turn yourself into some kind of crusader.
That was very clear by all the documents that were filed, that like this was a plan. Like, this was not oh, we wanted to introduce this and we did, and oh, we were kicked out and now we're suing. This was a plan from the beginning to say, okay, we're gonna like, what can we do so Apple will kick us out so we can sue them? That was the plan. And sorry. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. All right. So delicious irony would be if a Tetris style movie was made about this whole thing and it ended up being on Apple TV Plus.
Oh, it will be 100%. 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, there is plenty of things that Apple is doing wrong. Like, Apple is by no means the good guy here. And I mean, they don't have to be. Like, they're a, like a big, successful company, they don't have to be good. Like, I mean, there's plenty of examples where, app review is less than perfect and people get kicked out or people get rejected for no reasons and there's no way to really, like, there's no proper process that they can appeal through. Like, the only way that seems to work is basically going to the press and off. There's plenty of issues in the store. There's plenty of things that Apple could be doing better. I'm not defending Apple there. They made mistakes. But not in this case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. Apple is not the knight in shining armor in this case. But from a legal perspective, they are in the right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you can clearly tell like how Apple is approaching this whole topic by how they have complied with what was it? The laws in South Korea and the Netherlands, I think, where they had to change the App Store and where they had to allow outside payment. And they were basically like, okay, fine. We will charge you 27% and then you can use your own App Store. It's like, okay. Like, mm-hmm. You get 3% for using your own payment system and not your own App Store, your own payment system. That's fine. And you'd still pay us our share.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a very clear, like, fine, we'll do it, but we'll make it as painful as possible.
Well, and Tim Cook has said that that even for, no, is that, well, Tim Cook has said that regardless of how payments for apps or in-app payments happen, mm-hmm. Apple is going to get their cut.
Yeah.
And so there you go. That's how they're doing it.
Yeah, for sure. So as I said, their whole approach is a little bit like the kid who's like stomping their feet and like saying like, I don't want this to do this, and then just begrudgingly doing it. That's kind of Apple's approach here. And I mean, they can try that.
Yeah, and there's no reason that Apple shouldn't get their cut.
Yeah,
I mean, if that's the cut they demand. I say this all the time, but then you don't have to be in the App Store. You don't have to be on iOS. You know, mm-hmm. there are plenty of other platforms. If you want to be on the Mac, you don't have to be in the App Store. In iOS, in theory, you have to be in the App Store. So you can't, you might not be able to produce for the iPhone market, but there are other markets out there. So go and, help build those up if you like those terms better.
I mean, I don't think it's like as crystal clear as that. It's not black or white. Like there is definitely an argument to be made that Apple is incredibly powerful with their platform. And there is a question whether they should be charging 30% or whether they should be charging a little bit less. But ultimately, it's their platform. And unless there's a law that changes that, where, like, I don't know, the US decides, okay, the maximum you can charge is, let's say, 25%, whatever. Unless there is a law that they break, they can do whatever they want. Unless they're a monopoly, which there are clear rules for, and we just saw it. They're not. At least not in this case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Patrice, that's a perfect breakdown. You say ultimately, it's their choice. It's their platform. Mm-hmm. It's their choice. They are not a monopoly. So, no. That's...
If they become one, because, I don't know, Google, Android implodes, and Apple is the only, player in the game, that changes things, and then we might have to have that discussion. But till then, I mean, you're right. There are other alternatives. I mean, Google isn't any better because they also charge 30%. So
right. Well, Epic charges 30% in their store too.
Oh yeah, that was the ultimate irony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yep.
But here we go. Same thing. As strange as it sounds coming out of my mouth. But if that's what Epic wants to charge, that's what Epic wants to charge. You don't, nobody's putting a gun to your head and making you buy that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I mean, it's the same thing as Apple charging $5,000 for it for like a display. I mean, mm-hmm. They could charge 10 or 15 or 20 for it. Like, mm-hmm. you don't have to buy it.
Yep.
Yeah. As I said, it is slightly different because it is not as clear, hey, you can go somewhere else and do it, because the iPhone market is incredibly big and is incredibly important. But it is by no means the only place you can go.
Yep. All right. So Apple, of course, they want to keep us in their ecosystem. And it looks like they have a new way to try and do that. So there's a report out that Apple is developing their own AI-powered health coach. And so this will be part of a paid subscription. And the project is called Quartz. And so it's going to use data from your Apple devices, like your Apple Watch, mm-hmm. to design a coaching program for you that's tailored just to you. And so that would include things like workouts and menus. So, you know, just all the stuff that would go along with having an actual real health coach. Mm-hmm. And there you go.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite interesting. I could see this being announced in September. I don't think it's a WWDC announcement, but September. This lines up with their whole Fitness Plus service.
Mm-hmm. So September would make sense because that's typically when we get new fitness related announcements. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Unless there is something that they want developers to look into.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah. I'm really excited about this. Sorry.
And this just feels like this leverages so many different things that Apple is already doing to some degree, and it's almost a logical next iteration. That, you know, we have the fitness app, we have the coaches, you know, and the programs and everything, and now we're going to try to get one that is tailored specifically for you. It'll be really interesting to see exactly how good that is, but you know, given a lot of what Apple's done in the past, I'm guardedly optimistic about it. So yeah, but by all means, take what you've done and do it better. Do it more.
Yeah. It's also a very Apple thing to do. Like, you know, this kind of fitness coaches, they exist, like not AI, like real fitness coaches. But not everybody has access to them or can afford them. And this mm-hmm. kind of democratizes, at least to some extent, like that kind of service. Is it as good as a real fitness coach? Probably not. Like the fitness coach that can like come to your apartment or your house and kick you in the butt if you don't get up on your couch, this is not it. I can't do that. It can send you a message, but it can't like actually come to your place.
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, not yet.
But it could it could be programmed to be darned annoying to the point that you mm-hmm. have to pay attention.
You cannot watch Ted Lasso until you've run 5 miles.
Right. Oh my god. And they could actually make it do something mm-hmm. like that.
Oh yeah. You're completely blocked from your Mac until you've like done your morning run.
Yeah.
Exactly.
This plays into the idea that I have tossed out before, that Apple wants to be the everything platform. So mm-hmm. you have the company that's selling you your phone and your computer and your entertainment services, helping you take care of your medical records, helping you with your fitness and giving you your music service. And I mean, there's just all these things that Apple is doing to, and then adding in the financial services. Mm-hmm. It's just another piece in it. You want to talk about Apple having a garden wall ecosystem? Look beyond the App Store. Look at everything they're doing. It's like every year we're getting another piece that gives you incentive to not leave Apple's ecosystem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't say that News Plus is a great piece of that, but it's a different kind of piece. But
yeah, I agree. But I mean, if you're going to keep people completely in your ecosystem, that's an element you need.
Mm-hmm. And Jeff, you just said incentives to stay in, not requirements. I mean, there are a few places where the wall gets a little bit higher in the garden, but for the most part, you know, you don't have to participate in any of this. In some places, it feels almost stupid not to. But if you choose not to, then that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do, then it's also almost a multiplicative effect. You know, it's not just 1 + 1 = 2. Sometimes it's 1 + 1 = 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So true.
All right. Yeah, so
I'm very much looking forward to this. Like, I will use it. I mean, I'm a big fan of Fitness Plus. I use it all the time. I'm a big fan of Apple's entire fitness like system, like the health app and so on. Like, it's really well done. There's a lot of really smart people behind it, and like, this is gonna be great if it works. I mean, we'll see.
All right, Patrice, you just answered the question I was about to ask everyone. So now for people that are like, I don't know what the question was. Is this a service you think you would use? And so now I know Patrice's answer. I'd love to hear Dave, Chuck, your answer.
I'll go. I would try it. I'm not sure it's for me because I'm not sure that it depends on certain aspects. Looking at the article, like meditation. I've tried meditation. It's not bad. It's just, I'm not sure it's the cure all for me that it is for some people. So, and I'll pick on just that one specific category, but would it be good to have, you know, even something a little more intense than my watch saying stand up every hour? Yeah, it probably would mm-hmm. be good for me. No doubt mm-hmm. about it. So yeah, I'll take a shot at it and see how intrusive it is and whether that is consistent with my objectives in using it.
All right. Dave, how about you?
Yeah, I would try it out. I mean, I agree, you know, AI can be kind of scary too. And it's something that everybody is kind of like treading water on. But believe me, companies are now starting to look closely at ChatGPT and how is this going to work in the business environment and all that. Well, I mean, same thing. You know, we were talking about last night about insurance and having your car insurance, having that meter that they can mm-hmm. get your rates lower. I mean, it's the same thing. I would never, obviously, you know, we said what we said about that. We'll never use that, but I try it out to see if it's something cool to use, but I just don't know. Is it going to be intrusive that concerns me a little bit.
Just imagine you and yelling at you as your like AI fitness coach. That would be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that idea.
Yeah, I me too. It would be, I mean, that would get me off the couch real quick. Like, he can be scary. So
that's
sweetest guy, but he can be scary.
That's so funny. Yeah. I can totally visualize it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, let's face it. I just heard that in like one of the science related podcasts, maybe it was Plain English or something. Like the biggest predictor for early death is how active are you? Like how much exercise do you get in? How many steps do you get in? All of that. Mm. It is ridiculous. It's one of the few things that's actually really predictive. And so anything that we can do to get that little bit more in is probably going to make, like, hopefully at least keep us alive a little bit longer and with a better quality. So it's good for our health. Mm-hmm. So this is totally it. And if it gets, I don't know, 100 people, like if the entire thing only gets 100 people to like do exercise when they usually wouldn't, that's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd be willing to give this a shot also. And I mean, the idea of having my own personalized health coach,
Ewan,
my own digital Ewan, my e-Ewan. Yeah, I mean, that does sound appealing. The idea of going to a gym where I have a health coach is not appealing to me on mm-hmm. any level at all. Same. But if I could have something where it was just mine and I had the privacy of being able to use it without having to interact with other people.
Yes,
I just
I'm totally with you.
So antisocial, but it's true.
No, I'm totally with you.
Yeah, I 100%. Do not want to have a human health coach, but mm-hmm. this sounds interesting. And Bob Beach is loving the idea of of health coach Ewan. So what? Okay, so for Ewan, what? And I'm not going to even try and do a British accent because I'll completely ruin it. Yeah. I can just picture your Ewan appearing in front of you while you're wearing your Apple VR goggles. And it's going, all right, yeah. Mate, you've done bugger all today. Get off your arse and get outside.
Okay. Yeah, Jeff, I need a minute here. Let me send this email, feedback@apple.com.
Yes.
We need Ewan Rankin.
Yes.
Please hire Ewan Rankin.
Ewan Rankin, your
Maybe
personal health coach.
Maybe that's what he's been doing the last, 2 years. Like,
he's been...
Bob says... he would rise 6 pints a day.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. First, that's right. First, you drink 6 pints, and then you go for like a whatever 18-hole golf course, and then you go for a run for like 5 miles. And...
But you have to walk to the pub to get the pints.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
There you go. Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah. Now we know why Ewan hasn't been able to be around, because he's off at Apple's secret lab where they've mm-hmm. been doing 3D body scans and having him say all this stuff so that they can create the virtual Ewan with the right mannerisms, the right voice, mm-hmm. so that it feels like Ewan is really standing in front of you, ready to kick your butt because you won't get off the couch and go down to the pub.
That's right.
I would pay for that. Just shut up and take
Me
my
too.
Money.
Yep.
Yep. So I did want to hit a third story today before we have to move on, even though we should right now probably be moving on to talking about TSO Host and doing cool things. But I just want to bring this up. This is a follow-up to our discussion about GM deciding they're not going to support CarPlay anymore in favor of having their own thing. And Apple basically gave GM a big F you and says, yeah, whatever. Look at all these cars that actually give you what you want. And just too bad GM isn't going to be part of that game.
Yeah. Basically, Apple telling you which cars to buy,
right? And which cars not to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, well, anybody who's not on this, right?
Yeah, I still love this. I mean, it's so subtle.
I do too.
And it's not negative. It's a positive. No. You know, it's a positive rebuttal, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There are just so many good things about this. This just feels like it's so classy.
Oh, by the way, there's over 800 cars that support CarPlay right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So anyhow, I just wanted to share that because I just thought it was just deliciously wonderful and really kind of funny.
And I think that list is not just the cars that support CarPlay, but like more specifically the ones that support the new car key, right? So the list is even shorter, both. But it's like the advanced stuff.
Yeah.
Actually, oh, they should have both? Okay.
I think it's both, yeah. Some cars have the car key, mm-hmm. or whatever it's called, and then the other ones, all of them have CarPlay.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So, anyhow, just wanted to share that because it just made me feel good and made me happy, much like TSO Host does. Because TSO Host is out there doing what they do best so that we can be here doing, well, what we do. And TSO Host, what they do is web hosting, and they help you buy domain names. And what they're doing is leveraging that and giving us a place for the website to live, and a place for all the show recordings to live, so you can watch or listen to episodes anytime you want. They're also giving us the bandwidth we need so we can live stream shows every single week. Without their generous support, we would not be able to do what we do. The resources it takes to do a live streaming show multiple times a week, that's beyond what we would be able to do without TSO Host help. So we are so glad that they're here and helping us out. It's just wonderful. Now, what we can do to show our appreciation is just go on social media and thank TSO Host for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. Super easy to do and just takes a minute. Now, when you come up with that really awesome idea for a website and a domain name, well, there you go. TSO Host is there ready to help you out. What you do is go to their website and get your domain registration going with them, and you know, get that in your cart, get your hosting package in your cart, and then add the discount code BTN20. And when you do that, you're going to get 20% off your order. Holy crap, that's awesome and incredibly generous. So thank you, TSO Host, for being here and supporting the British Tech Network so that we can bring you quality content like this every week and put images in your head like your own personal Ewan showing up at your house and helping you with your health and fitness coaching. That's an image we've all got in our heads now. And yeah, so thank you, TSO Host. And Patrice, Now that I've emotionally scarred everyone, do you mind telling people where they can go and potentially find even more emotionally scarring content like the chat that we have going on during shows?
Yeah. So there's this live chat that we have running. Well, it's running all the time, but especially during the shows. You can join. We're recording live every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show. And also, by the way, Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show. If you're into that non-Apple side of technology, like, I don't know, cars and Android and Windows and like all the Google thing and space tech and like literally anything else, like it's incredibly diverse. I mean, Tom sometimes brings like chip manufacturing, like detailed stories that they're really interesting. And I usually only understand half of what he's talking about because he's so smart. So yeah, you can do that. And then you head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and you can talk to us. You can see the links. You can see the cool things. You can talk to the other awesome people, all of that. But yeah, let's say you are listening to this in the recorded form, like in your favorite podcast player of choice, which is totally fine. I mean, that's what podcasts are for. That's what why we record this, why we post it, all of the above. Yeah. I mean, you can't get to the live chat anymore because, well, it's live, so that doesn't work. Unless you have a time machine or a subspace
temporal conduit.
Exactly. Yes, that thing. If you have that, okay, you can join the live chat. Fine. But for the normal people out there, You head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and then there's a little calendar that pops up, and you put in today's date, as today as we're recording this, which is the 28th of April 2023, April 28th 2023, and then you can see everything that was talked about and all the links and everything.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that. And I know I say this on a regular basis, but it's true. It's stupid the amount of stress that I generate for myself when I try and do what you just did so easily. So thank you for saving me from that stress.
You're welcome.
And now it's time for some cool things. So who has the first cool thing?
I can jump in. There's so many video editing programs out there you can use for podcasts, for instructions, and for social media, all that stuff. And I always come back to this one, Camtasia, and it's from TechSmith, which I think they're just a great software company. I'm a big fan of Snagit. I've talked about that before, but they just came out with their new version for 2023. And they've added some, and some improvements and a lot better background controls and image options and cursors, all that stuff. And I really think that they make some great products. And this is a really great way to do video editing. And it is a high end product because it starts at about $299 to purchase it. But one of the great things is they do have some sales once in a while, so you get a little better deal. But the one cool thing is that they do offer a maintenance agreement. So you pay the you get the sting of the $300 for the license, but then you you put maintenance on it every year, and it only costs you $52 a year to renew it. So and you're always guaranteed every year to get the updates. They do that for Snagit too. I think I pay like $12 for a maintenance agreement on Snagit. So they're very fair with the maintenance agreements on the products. But I think it's well worth it for the editing and doing all this great stuff that we do out there these days with this type of stuff.
Awesome. Cool. Sorry, I was multitasking a little bit because I was also double checking the link for my cool thing. And Camtasia is very cool. Awesome. Okay. So looks like Chuck is next.
Yeah, I'll jump in. This won't cost anybody any money, just a little bit of your time. I was at an NAB show, I guess week before last, and attended a session on the creative process with Brett Goldstein of Ted Lasso fame. And it was just a lot of fun. I'm not a celebrity hound. I don't, just because somebody's been on a TV show doesn't mean I want to sit in the audience for an hour at NAB. But I was really curious about Brett as not just from the performance side, because he also plays Roy Kent, but also from the creative process side. And it was just a really great hour-long session. It's well worth your time. Whether you're a fan of Roy Kent / Ted Lasso / Brett Goldstein or not, it is still a really interesting discussion of how things develop and how they, how he has developed. They talked about Shrinking, which is another Apple TV show that I had zero interest in until I heard him talk about how the show came to be. And now I want to sit down and watch at least some of it.
It's an amazing show.
Well, see, that's it. But the descriptions I've read of it, this sounds like something I wouldn't be into. But now having heard how they put it together, I really want to go see and put it within that framework. There's plenty of humorous stuff here too, no question about that, including his story of how he became Roy Kent. So it's well worth it. I will say this though, if you want to see this, you probably want to move relatively quickly, because I don't know how long NAB will keep that up on the site. So bookmark it and watch it quick. But it's well worth an hour.
They stole a few F-bombs too.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm a big fan of Brett Goldstein. I follow him on Instagram, and like as a person, he's really interesting and really fun. Like he's not a lot like Roy Kent. Quite sweet guy and so on. I mean, he could, for all I care, he could be reading the phone book and I would listen to him.
Like, hey, he was on Sesame Street with the Muppets.
Exactly.
He's such a huge Muppet fan.
He was a massive Muppet fan, and because of, I think, Ted Lasso and his success here, he was finally able to do it. And you could tell, like, he was so, like, starstruck.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Cookie Master's the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is, like, he's just a really nice guy and, like, an amazing artist, like, creative talent, like, all of it. I mean, I just really enjoy, like, whatever he does. As I said, he would make a phone book interesting, so. He's that good.
Yeah.
Well, if you like him with the phone book, you'll love him in this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It was good.
Okay.
Awesome.
That means it's my turn, right?
Yes, it is.
So I'm gonna potentially cost you some money, but I bet that all of you already have some HomePod Minis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I ordered another one. I already had two, but I sold one of my OG HomePods because I had in the bedroom one that I had it from like the before times when I was living in Phoenix and I had a bigger house and I needed an extra one, so I bought one. But for my bedroom, I really didn't need it. It was just there. So I saw that like I can sell my HomePod, like the OG HomePod, for quite a decent price, like a little bit more than 200 euros, and buy a mini for instead. So I bought an orange HomePod mini, which is, I mean, I don't think I have to tell you anything about it because it's just, I mean, it is for the size, a really amazing device. It has all those extra sensors that I really wanted, to be honest, like the temperature and humidity sensors that are in it, which is really good for your bedroom, like to know like what the temperature is and so on. It's a Thread router, so which is also a benefit because I have a bunch of Thread devices from Eve. So yeah, and it's like, what is that, $99 or something, like 120 euros, I think, with taxes and everything here. So well worth it. And the orange, like I now have three different colors. So I have an original gray one when they came out. I have a blue one when they released that because I didn't like gray and I was finally a different color. Then they released the orange and I'm like, oh, I should get an orange. So I got an orange. So I have three different colors. So I can color code my HomePods per room, basically.
You can. Patrice, yeah. What I did, well, I started off with one gray HomePod when they came out, or HomePod Mini. Mm-hmm. And then later on, I thought, you know, I'd like to have one in the in my bedroom. So I had one in the office, got one in the bedroom. And then at some point I thought, you know, I've got two of these. I can hear my OG HomePod from when I'm in my office. I can hear it just fine.
Mm-hmm.
I should pair these. And it completely changed my HomePod Mini experience. And it was like getting a sound upgrade. So a HomePod Mini on its own is nice. But when you pair them, holy crap, people.
Yeah, but the rooms I have them in, the kitchen, the bathroom, the bedroom, they don't need.
Yeah.
The awesome sound experience. So
I can appreciate
like that. And I'm actually planning on replacing. I have two OG HomePods here still. I'm going to sell those two and replace them because I want Thread devices. So yeah, I also replaced my Apple TV because of that. Like since I'm moving, I'm replacing stuff. I'm like, okay, I might as well sell the stuff I don't want.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yep. Awesome. Okay. So, my cool thing is it's a little app from Icon Factory called Notchmeister. And this is an app that came out like, I want to say, in 2021. And what it does is if you have an M series Apple laptop, so you have a little notch on the display, it does special effects around the notch. And so you can have when you move your cursor over the notch, you can have like right now I have mine set so that holiday lights drop down from the notch, and then you can like flick the lights and they kind of move around, and and it has several things that you can do. So this is a free thing that you can get on the App Store, Mac App Store right now. But my cool thing is the beta. So Craig Hockenberry opened up a public beta for Notchmeister. Excuse me. And when you have the beta, which is what I'm running now, you're getting cool new things that aren't available in the general public release. So like what he's working on right now is it's dice that hang from the notch. And for the dice, instead of reinventing dice, he teamed up with I hate when I forget names. The guy that does the calculator app.
James Thompson?
No. Yes. Yes. Yeah, James Thompson.
Yeah.
So James Thompson has given Craig the elements for the really good dice. So Notchmeister is getting hanging dice, and the dice came from James Thompson.
That's cool.
So it's free, but there's also a beta. So if you want to get in the beta and play with some of these things earlier, there you go. And it's silly and it's stupid and it's ridiculously fun. All right. Yeah. And
it's crazy how a little thing like the notch that some people like completely poo-pooed and said, oh, and how could Apple and all of that create some crazy ideas that people have, like what you could do with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is definitely on the crazy side, but it's fun.
It is. And it's funny because before I installed the beta of Notchmeister, I really had pretty much forgotten that my laptop mm-hmm. screen has a notch on it because it's not obtrusive, unlike what people were complaining about when Apple announced it before we got the new laptops with a notch on it. It's a non-thing. And mm-hmm. and I do know people that have M-series laptops that never even noticed that there's a notch on their screen.
It's I'm not sure I even noticed, to be honest. Like if I did, I forgot about it.
Yeah, it just disappears. Yeah.
But just a non-issue. I mean, I knew it had it because we talked about it, but
yep. So there you go. I didn't cost you any money, Chuck, but I did probably cost you a little bit of time.
Thank you. I'm definitely going to check this out.
And Dave, I'm assuming that you're going to install this on every corporate Apple laptop that you set up.
Yeah. Hell yes.
Oh my God. Well, I wouldn't hear the end of it for that one.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be glorious?
It totally would be.
I got one here. Maybe I should install before I ship it out.
Right. Do it.
Yeah. Do that.
That'd be kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when the little lights drop down or whatever, and they call you, say, gee, I don't know.
I didn't know Apple did that.
That's a completely normal function.
One of the effects, it'll look like there's like little sparks that are coming out from behind the notch. So you could set that one up. And when someone calls you and says, what's this thing that's happening? Then tell them, oh yeah, there's probably a short with the notch when the mouse cursor gets in contact with it, it causes a short to happen. Better send me your laptop so that I can I can go and fix the wiring on that. Then they send it to you. You just uninstall Notchmeister, send it back to him, and you're a hero.
And they think you're a genius.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
There you go, Dave. Job security.
You're the only one who can fix the notch, basically.
Yeah, the short in the notch. Yep. Hey, so this has been tons of fun. I have seriously really enjoyed getting to spend my morning with the three of you and with everyone that's watching and listening live. You're all awesome. Dave, where can people find you?
You can find me at InTouchBiOS at InTouchBiOS.com. The YouTube channel is YouTube.com/InTouchBiOS. I'm on Mac Voices Live every Tuesday night on 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm on Mastodon at DaveG65 at Mastodon.cloud. And great to be here. Great job, Jeff. Thanks.
Awesome. And Patrice, where can people find you?
Taking a drink. You can find me every week here on the Mac Show on Fridays, also on the Big Show on Thursdays. You can find everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcast, the projects, literally everything on my website, thepatrice.com. And if you're into like food related stories and memories and just everything that goes with that, head over to foodieflashback.com. for my interview podcast that I do.
Awesome. And Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com is where you'll find me talking to lots of interesting people. We're in the process of releasing some of the interviews I shot at NAB. And you can find me on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time it is, wherever you are, with Patrice sometimes, David and Jeff usually, on Mac Voices Live at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. On all the socials, I'm at Chuck Joyner or at Mac Voices.
Awesome. All right. And I am Jay Gamet on Mastodon and Instagram. And I've got the name on like all the other socials, but that's where you'll find me active. Then on Tuesdays, like Chuck said, he continues to let me join in on Mac Voices Live. Wow. And then on Thursdays here on the Big Show, then Thursday evenings, Dave, for some reason, continues to let me on In Touch with iOS. And then back here again on Friday mornings for the Mac Show. And then I record The Context Machine with Brian Chaffin. Also, last week, I was on The Edition, Charlotte Henry's show, and we talked about streaming shows that we're really enjoying. So go check that out, because, it was just a fun time. And with that, thank you again to the three of you for just making me smile this morning. You are awesome. And everyone that's watching or listening live, thank you for being here as well. I'm so glad that you joined us. If you've been participating in the live chat, hey, thank you for being there and chatting with us. Everyone that watches or listens later, I think I made a contraction out of watches and listens, and so watchins is now the new word for watching and listening. All right, so if you watchins,
so we know you're not an Android.
So we know you're not. Yes. Wow. Okay, so anyhow, all of you that check out the recordings later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. You are awesome. Thank you, TSO host, for being here and supporting us. Ewan, thank you just for being you. And Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. And let's see, join us next Thursday again for the Big Show, and then come back again next Friday for the Mac Show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.